Thank you, our pastor, Brother Chick.
Thank you, Brother Randy. I'm glad to have Brother Corey home. He's between appointments, responsibilities, what do you call it?
Contracts.
Contract. And it's always good for him to be home. I don't want you to ever forget him. All right? He loves the Lord and he's serving the Lord. And it's always good to see him back home again. How many remember him? I always tell him this. I said, if we ever have trouble, I want you on my side. I think he's big enough to carry me and whatever might happen. God bless you, Sugar Bear. I love you. You little sweetie.
All right, Cookie.
Isn't it a joy to be a grandpa and a papa? And I never was a meemaw. What makes a great dad? Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 2, verse 23. This is a wonderful scripture. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And listen to this next thought. And he was called the friend of God. That's magnificent, isn't it? Father, bless us now as we study your word together. May our hearts and lives be open. May we realize that not just what we're going to learn about Abraham's life that fits only for men, but it fits for every human being that ever has lived or will live. Again, we thank you for the privilege of being your dear children. Now may he, the Holy Spirit, direct our paths this morning, and may Satan be defeated. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Sometimes this is a time that tears lay close to the brinking point of falling from our eyes. Brother Mike, I was thinking about you this morning. This is your first Father's Day without your dad. And I knew Chief pretty well, and I loved him. Others have lost their dads this past year. I think back to the days when I was a young married man, and I was working with my dad in the ministry in Alva. And I was the song leader, the church janitor. I drove a school bus, went to college. I did everything that had to be done that Dad didn't do himself. And one Saturday morning, my little sister called me and she said, "Bud, come home quick. Something's happened to Dad." And I went home, lived just about 6 or 7 blocks, and got home. And Dad was with the Lord. And my heart sank, but then I got to thinking about how magnificent things must be for him now. For the believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, I miss him, and I really do miss him, but I thank God for all the things he taught me. Not only as a dad, but as a preacher of the cross. Now, for 10,000 years, I would never, never wish him back. The thing I'm looking for is the time that one of these days before long, I think we're all going to be with our loved ones that are already in heaven. And so this morning, I want you to focus with me on what makes a good dad. What makes a good dad? You know, I think there's about as many answers to that as there are individual dads. But I had a great dad and a lot of wonderful memories about him. But I also understood something that he reminded me of. He said, son, I'm not perfect. Well, I understood that. But as he lived for the Lord, he not only talked about what Christians ought to do, he lived that life. He exalted Christ in his life, and he made sure that I understood if I wanted to see real success and have a wonderful life, that in my life I would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, he was right. I've had a magnificent life, and it's because I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I've tried to lift him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But even though he wasn't perfect, he knew the ways of righteousness. And that was for my benefit. And I taught these same truths for my sons. And I'm sure that they encircled him in their hearts and put him where he belonged in their lives. But there's only one perfect Father. And that's the Father that Dorothy was talking about the first this morning. Our Father which is in heaven. And he was a God that loved us. And you know, he gave us many good and great examples of how that we could lead our lives. Now we know that we're still in the flesh and our soul sealed by the Holy Spirit and it doesn't sin, but our old flesh, you know, still wars against us and our minds. But if we live from our soul out where the Lord has his place, we'll have a lot less problems than all the people said. Yeah, if we just love him from within. A lot of people say, well, you know, I just think positive. I don't like just to think positive. I like to think what God would have me to be and what he would have me to do. And so when we read the story of Abraham's life, we read the story about a man who wasn't perfect. No. Abraham was out there of the Chaldees. They were moon worshipers. But God saw something in that man that probably nobody else saw. He saw what he was going to use him for. And you know, all things were created by him and for him, and without him, nothing was created that is created. And so Abraham was a man that God could look upon, and he knew exactly how that Abraham would lead his life when God gave him his call. Now, every one of you dads here this morning that have been saved, before you got saved, you had a heart blackened with sin. But when you let Jesus Christ come into your heart was made pure. And your soul was made pure, and the Holy Spirit sealed you, and we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so if we're saved here this morning, dear old dad, and dear old mom, and dear old brother and sister, and dear old loved one in Christ, then God has saved us for a reason. And that reason is to exalt Jesus Christ. You know, I say this so many times, and I'm afraid people get so used to me saying it, but you know, if it wasn't for him, we'd be nothing. If it wasn't for him, we'd still be on the road to hell. But for those of us who've let Jesus come into our hearts, then we have something indeed to look forward to. Now, I don't want to become so heavenly minded that I become of no earthly value, because I know that every day I walk with the Lord, he's sweet and precious, and he blesses me, and he helps me, and he directs my paths, and all the other magnitude of things he does for me. But I also know this, that I have a responsibility. And so this morning I want us to look not at Pastor Chick, but I want us to look at Abraham. And I want us to consider him, why he was great. Now, we read from our text this morning that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And you know, we're saved by faith just like Abraham was. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again from the grave. And that he took his blood and put it on the mercy seat yonder in heaven, so that when we cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me, and I believe Jesus died for me and rose again. And when we accept him into our heart, he gives us salvation. And so when we think about this morning, I want us to consider why Abraham was a friend of God. Now, everybody said, well, everybody that's saved is a friend of God. Not everybody. You know, there are certain conditions that have to be met and certain conditions that have to happen to be called a friend of God. And we're not going to talk so much about being a friend of God this morning, but when we get saved, we need to remember we are not our own. We're bought with a price. And the price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Abraham, he was a man of faith. In James chapter 2, verse 23 again, and the scriptures were fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I believe he was saved, for the scripture said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, there's something I want to remind you of. In the Old Testament time, the Old Testament saints look forward to a time when Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world, they look forward to that time when that perfect lamb, the paschal lamb, the sacrificial lamb, would go to Calvary and die on the cross and live again after his resurrection, making intercession for mankind. And so they were saved by faith because they believed God. And you and I that are here today that are saved, we're saved because we believe God. When he said if we confess our unbelief, that he would save us, and if we would accept his son, he would give us eternal life. And so he was saved because of that. Now the problem today is too many dads don't have the Heavenly Father and subsequently no righteousness. I think most of us that are ministers here today, and I'm talking about pastors like Jerry and Brother Terry and my staff and so on and so forth, we're very much aware of the fact that our world is on a downhill slide to the end. What a calamity. And we do everything we can by the grace of God to help people to get saved. And yet, in spite of all the things that we do to warn, it seems as though they just don't listen. Or they procrastinate. They say, well, someday I'm going to let Jesus come into my heart. But there's no better day than today to be saved, because the scripture says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And I think I understand a little bit what Noah must have felt when God said, I'm going to rain judgment out upon the world. And he said, I want you to build an ark. And all the time that Noah was building the ark, the people saw it, and they thought it was foolishness. And you know, when you talk to the people of the world about salvation, they say, well, that's some kind of religious fanatic. You're a religious fanatic. What's going wrong with you? No, we're not fanatics. We're just declaring the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. And what will the truth do? It'll set us free. And yet they say to themselves, I'm too busy, I don't have time for that, and I'm not interested in that. But there's going to come a day that they wish they would have listened. And you know, in the days of Noah, there came a day when Noah said, God's going to flood this earth, and you're going to lose your life, and you're going to lose everything you had. And you know, they probably laughed, and they said, poor old Noah, he's a nut. And sometimes I'm sure that you and I that witness for the Lord are called nuts. But bless the Lord, we're screwed on the right bolt. Amen. We're hooked up with the right individual that will take us to glory. And so it is that when the flood came, the Bible said it took them all away. Now, just in Brother Chick's mind, my mind runs back to this. I'm wondering if any of those people, when they begin to see the rains fall and the fountains of the deep break open, I'm wondering if they begin to consider, well, maybe Noah knew what he was talking about. And you know, the Bible said they not only got a deluge from above, but they got it from below. And they said to themselves, well, maybe there's something to it. And so they begin to pound on the door, but we know the answer to that, don't we? The Bible said that Noah didn't close the door. God closed the door. And Noah couldn't open that door if he would have wanted to. And I'm sure in his fleshly desire, when there were people that were screaming and crying because they were getting ready to drown, I'm sure if Noah would have had his way, he would have probably tried. But God's way is the perfect way. Now, for you dads here this morning that don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, most of you got a little card from your children, or they made you a little card or did something or wished you happy Father's Day. And you know, that touches our heart, and it should. But there's something else we need to consider. Father's Day should be a reflection of our lives as dear old dad on our children, on our mates, on our friends, those that we know and those that we come in contact with. What kind of testimony are we giving them? I hope that you dads here this morning, or anybody else here this morning that doesn't have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I'm hoping that today you would consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you won't procrastinate and put off Christ Jesus as your Savior. Because I have some news, like Noah, there's coming the day of judgment, and I don't believe it's very far off. I believe the rapture of the saints is very close and very near. In fact, I believe it so much that Jesus said, when you see all of these signs taking place, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, you might be saying to yourself as a lost dad or mother or child, you might be saying to yourself, well, you know, Brother Chick, everything's the same every day, but it's not the same every day. Things that are happening today have never happened before. Things that God had specifically pointed out that were going to happen are taking place. And now, just for instance, war. He said in the last days there'd be wars and rumors of wars, and we never get out of a war. Somewhere in the world, always there's a war raging, and it just keeps accelerating and accelerating and accelerating. But I don't want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about the importance of you letting Christ come into your heart. And I can't think of a better day to remember the day of your salvation than the day that the world set aside to honor fathers. Because you can honor God the Father by accepting His Son as your personal Savior. And I think you ought to. And so the tragedy is, as I said today, that many of them do not have the Heavenly Father. The average dad today has no spiritual values. Many live as though that this life on earth is all that there's going to be. But I've got some bad news for you that aren't saved and good news for you that are saved. There's something ahead. And there's more than this life. And there's more than what we're doing every day of our life. And as a Christian, I rejoice and I enjoy each day that the Lord's given me. But I also know that there are a lot of lost people out there that are struggling for existence, and they don't understand why their life is in such a doldrum, and they don't understand why everything goes backwards, and they don't understand why sin is tearing them to pieces, and they don't understand why their homes are being ripped asunder, and they don't understand why they don't have any peace of mind, and they don't have any joy in their life, and it's because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I had this happen just not long ago. I had a gentleman that we had witnessed to, and he had received Christ as his personal Savior, and he was talking to me about his new life in Christ, and he said, "You know, Pastor Chick, you told me if I had Jesus Christ, I'd have everything, and if I didn't have him, I had nothing." And he said, "You were absolutely right." No, I'm not absolutely right. God is absolutely right. If you have Jesus Christ, you've got it all. And He'll be with you. And so today we need to have spiritual values. And the first spiritual value is to let Jesus Christ come into our heart. And then the second Christian, the second value, great value that we have, the spiritual value, is that we take up our cross daily and follow Him. I always question, and I don't understand, is why somebody says they're saved, Brother Jerry, and they never want to serve the Lord. I met a different Savior. When I let Jesus come into my heart, I got excited about being a Christian. And I got excited about when it came bedtime and it came time for me to pillow my head, if I went to sleep, to know that if I didn't wake up in this world, I'd wake up in the heavenly kingdom. Boy, that's great news for modern man. But it also instilled in my heart and my life a desire. A desire. Are you listening? A desire to serve the Lord. We have a chorus that we used to sing around here, and it says this for the Christian: "I have decided to follow Jesus." You know, the decision's yours. You can be saved, I'm sure, and not follow the Lord. But I always question, what kind of Christian is it that doesn't have the desire to follow Jesus? The greatest joy that a dad can have is to know Christ as his personal Savior. And there's something more to that than this. This not only brings benefit to him, but it brings benefit to the entire family. When my dad accepted Christ as his Savior at the age of 38 years old, and he was a businessman, so he wasn't called a drunkard, just had a social drinking problem. When Dad got saved, it wasn't long until my oldest sister received Christ. It wasn't long until my brother received Christ. It wasn't long until my other sister received Christ. And right on down the bean row, and it changed our home. A home that was once troublesome. A home that was once argumentative. A home that was once without Christ was filled with the joy of Christ. There's a joy, unspeakable joy, when a dad gets saved and he leads his family to the Lord. Secondly, Abraham was a friend of God. I've got a lot of friends. Brother Joe, you weren't sitting where you usually sit this morning, and I said to myself during Sunday school, "Where's Brother Joe? Something happened to Brother Joe." And I was troubled, and I was getting ready to ask Danny, "Where's Joe?" And then I got here at the front, and I looked down, and he was sitting over here. Isn't it funny that pastors always can locate their church members by where they sit? Now, there's a few rascals that move around just to show me that I better keep my eyes open. But we can tell. Now, Joe's my friend. We've gotten pretty close. We fellowship together. We have a good time together. We talk about the Lord together. He shares the things he desires to do for the Lord with me. And I try to share the things I want to do for the Lord with him. And one of the joys I have about being a pastor is in this congregation, there are more than acquaintances, there are friends. And there's one reason why we have a common denominator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, if you've got Jesus in your heart, one of your dear sisters in Christ can tell another dear sister in Christ, that's an unusual dress you're wearing, and they don't even get mad. Somebody asked me the other day, is your hair receding? No. That didn't offend me. I just got a reverse mohawk, and I just changed it around. No. And sometimes in the Christian faith, what happens? Well, they're picking on me. They're making fun of me. They're laughing at me. My, what a dress. Oh, that was ugly of them. Why did they say something that ugly? Listen to me. We're bonded together with the blood of Jesus Christ. We have no times as brothers and sisters in Christ for that kind of foolishness. I was hoping to get an amen. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do like Jesus did. We need to set our faces as flint towards the work that God's given us and to let all the other petty things that might happen in life and push them aside for only one reason, for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a friend of God. My, wasn't that wonderful to be able to say, we're his friend? I want to explain some things to you. In the book of Genesis, chapter 18, I'm going to show you how this friendship took place in Abraham's life. Abraham was more than a servant, and there wasn't anything wrong with being a servant of the Lord. And we too can become more than a servant. We can become friends of God, that's true. Now, here's the example of what happened in Abraham's life that changed him and how that God himself said, this is my friend. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 through 19, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the things which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And what was he talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's from Abraham's seed that Mary bore a child. For I know him that he will command, and look, this is what started it. He commanded his children and his household after him, that they should keep the ways of the Lord. You want to be a friend of God? Keep his ways. Do what he said. Well, you know, Brother Chick, Christianity, I'm saved, but the Christian faith is making me uncomfortable. It doesn't fit my lifestyle. Christianity is not meant to meet your lifestyle. You're meant to meet Christianity lifestyle. And you need to learn that. And some of you Christians literally are having tragedy in your homes and in your life, and it's simply because you want God to compromise with you, and he's not going to do it. He's given the ground rules. You need to say, okay, Lord, I'll do what you would have me to do. Mm-hmm. Now notice what it said. And they shall keep the ways of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham which he had spoken of him. Abraham knew what God's blessing could be in his life, and because of that, he walked with him. I'd rather walk with Jesus than Satan's crowd any day of the week. I'd rather be known to be on the Lord's side than on any other side. Somebody told me one time, he said, you're a religious fanatic. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I am a fanatic. I'm fanatical about my love for my Savior. And I don't want to disappoint him because he never disappoints me. God would make Abraham a great nation. It said in chapter 18, verse 18, seeing Abraham shall surely become a great nation, a great and mighty nation. And he has been, hasn't he? All the way through history. He knew that he could be a blessing, and through him, God would bless the world. And he's speaking concerning about Christ, and has he not been a blessing, Christians? You're not rejoicing in your salvation? I'm rejoicing. I thank God that he saved me. I didn't deserve it. If I would have gotten what I deserved, I'd be in hell today. And Abraham's faith in his God was imputed to him for righteousness. And my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood is the only righteousness that I have. And by the way, that's all that I need, his righteousness. Mine's not any good. Now we too. Now we'll close with this morning. We too can become a friend of God. I let my voice fall to be a friend of God. We too. I want friendship. I love my friendship, Brother Tom, sitting down here. He's one of my adopted sons. I enjoy my friendship with Tom. He calls me Dad. I count that as an honor. I call him one of my ornery kids. Oh, listen to me this morning. Listen to me. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 15. And we're going to close with this morning. John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. Here's the Savior talking. Now, this is the one that paid for our sins and rose again and put the blood on the mercy seat in heaven so we could be saved. Listen to what Jesus said to us. You said, but he didn't say it to us. Yes, he did. Everything recorded in God's word is for you and I. Every bit of it is for you and I. Now notice what he said in verse 14. Ye are my friends. And then here comes the sticker. If. You know, that's the way salvation is. If you confess that you're a sinner and accept Christ, you get to go to heaven. Now, here's the way to have friendship with God. If you do whatsoever I command you. The scripture said his commandments are not grievous. If serving Jesus is grievous to you, then something's wrong with your relationship with God. It shouldn't be grievous. Henceforth, I call you not servants. I serve in that responsibility. Jesus serves in that responsibility. For the servant knoweth not what the Lord doth, but I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have been made known unto you. We were talking about the rapture a few minutes ago, Brother Jerry. God's given us his plan for eternity. There's not anything left out. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for them. And there's a lot of Christians that cut her off right there. But the next verse says, but his spirit hath revealed them. If you're walking in the light as he is in the light, the Spirit of God relates to us. That's why when I tell you we need to get excited about the end times. We need to realize that our lost friends and those that we come in contact with and those that we talk to each day of our life or work with, that we need to share Christ with them because the time's short. And what we do, we must be doing now, when it's light, for the darkness comes, and no man can work in the night, the Bible says. Oh, what a sad day it's going to be. when we look down through the history of our lives and we see we had an opportunity to share our Christ, and there's old Joe Blow out there wanting to be saved, and we didn't share with Joe Blow. All right? If we're saved, we know that God wants in our life. He said, if you're my friends, you'll do whatsoever command. And then I close with this scripture this morning. Look with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. Oh, this is a familiar scripture for most of us. But Paul explains to us what really has happened in our lives. Paul told the church at Ephesus, and now he's telling it to the Bible Baptist Church in Enid, Oklahoma, for we are whose workmanship? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. What are good works, Brother Chick? Doing whatsoever I've commanded thee, which God hath what? Before ordained. After we get saved, God has already said, we're to serve Him, we're to love Him, we're to be what He would have us to be, that we should walk in them. What, Brother Chick? In service to the King. You know, God never asked us to do something, church. And Christ never asked us to do things, church, that they are not already doing. Jesus said, dear old dad, dear old mom, dear old brother and sister, those of you in Christ, take up your cross, service.